Good morning, everybody. My name is Renee. I'm one of our pastors here on staff. I pastor here at the Evanston Vineyard, I should say. We are one church of three campuses, like the announcement said. And I pastor our city campus called The Neighborhood, and it's good to be with you this morning. Quick correction on the announcements. It says, the slide said that start here is at 9:30. Actually, it's at 1 o'clock next week. So if you come here at 9:30, you can worship, but start here is not until 1 o'clock. So I hope you can be there. So we're in the middle of a series called Making Decisions with Jesus. We believe that we are meant to follow Jesus our whole lives with our whole beings, and that includes through our decisions. And so this morning, we are going to talk about finding our way through a decision when things get complicated. What do we do when things get complicated in the decision-making process? So the healthy life requires routine, intentional care. Cars need oil changes, plants need water, teeth need brushing and flossing. We know that, right? Care is necessary. And yet we often wait until the last minute to give care. We wait to get the oil change until our car makes that crummy sound. We water our plants when the leaves begin to wilt and droop a little bit. We brush and floss 10 minutes before we go in to see the dentist, right? We wait to give care until there is a visible need or reason. And we do the exact same thing in our relationship with Jesus. We know that our relationship with Jesus requires care, and yet we wait till the last minute, until we're desperate, until we're lost, until there is a decision to make. And then, from that frantic, stressed out place, we look for Jesus. We very quickly read as much of our Bible as quickly as we can, trying to find the answers. We text all of our friends in capital letters and emojis, asking them to pray for us. We tell God over and over and over again how much we need him to show up and tell us what to do. What's the answer, Lord? What's best? What do you have for me? What should I do? Tell me, Lord, I'm listening. And in that place, the decision-making process is full of expectations and pressure, deadlines, and all sorts of feelings. We're pulled in every direction. The clock is counting down, and we can't see the truth. So very often, in that place, Jesus feels very far away from us and our decision-making process. We're in a rush and completely stuck. It's like trying to change a flat tire when you're already late for work. You're rushing to get there as fast as you can, and very quickly you hear that sound that we all know is the sound that you have a flat tire, but you don't want to stop. You just want to get to work, but you have to. So you stop, you get out of the car, you assess the situation, you're thankful, you have the tools, but all of a sudden you're standing in front of the flat tire, you're in a rush, cars are whooshing past, and you don't know what to do. You freeze. You can't remember where to start. Who taught you? Did anybody teach you how to change a flat tire? What do you do in this situation? That feeling is so familiar to the decision-making process. We've all experienced that in some measure or another. And yet the Bible is abundantly clear that God doesn't want us to live in that place. God doesn't want us to experience fear or suffocate under the pressure of the decision-making process. God doesn't want us to have to guess our way through everything that stands in front of us. Instead, God wants us to thrive. He wants to give us what we need. He wants to answer our questions. He wants to lead us through our decisions. Jeremiah 17, 7 through 8 gives us this picture of what God wants. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. God wants our lives to bear good fruit. Even when the heat is on, the pressure is up, we're feeling the level of expectation. God wants us to live and walk with the hope and the confidence of being deeply connected to our Creator. That's how He made it. The one who created you wants to do life with you. The one who put you together wants not just to send you on your way once you are complete, but walk the road with you. But so very often when we are in the place of decision making, when it's time to do it, everything gets so complicated. Our vision gets cloudy. It's hard to see where our Creator is in that moment. And so what do we do? How do we make good decisions when we've gotten all tangled up in the process? How do we prepare to make good decisions from a place that's anchored with Jesus rather than just scrambling in panic? That's what we want to talk about this morning. And a lot of this work requires that we do some good introspection, that we really examine our hearts and our minds and our soul. We see that word examine all throughout the Psalms. Lord, search me and know me. Examine what is in me, Lord, so that I may be patterned after your life. It's kind of the essence of what David says. But before we get to that examine, before we kind of search around inside ourselves, we have to make sure we are standing on steady ground. Good decisions require steady foundation. So the first thing we've got to do when we're tangled up in a decision is we have to name the truth about God. When we name the truth about God's character, it functions like a kickstand on a bike. A kickstand, you know, is that little elbow piece at the bottom of a bike that when you get off of your bicycle, you can kick the kickstand, it touches the ground, and all of a sudden, you're not responsible for balancing your bike. You can leave the bike, and it'll stay upright if the kickstand works. We have to name truth about who God is in the decision-making process so that we can live with these kickstands so that our faith doesn't topple over in the decision-making process. When the heat is on, the pressure is high, our feelings are in the mix, and we've got a lot of concern about the outcome of this decision, it's really hard to remember who God is and where he's at. I believe that a critical kickstand for good decision making is this: God will be with you. This is a truth. We hear it in the Bible. We see it in Exodus 3. God shows up to Moses. Moses is tending this flock of his father-in-law's, and God sets a bush on fire in front of Moses to catch his attention. Moses goes over there, and God says, I am the Lord your God. You are standing on holy ground. God has Moses' attention. And God outlines this plan for Moses. He says, I've heard the cries of my people, and I would like you, Moses, to go and rescue my people from Egypt. Now, quite the tall order from God, especially for Moses. He's been on the run. He's had a really rough couple of years, and all of a sudden he's tending this flock, and that's how God shows up to him. And so Moses is kind of taking in this information. And as he's taking in this information, he starts to question, what God has said to him and how this is all going to work out. Why me, Lord? I'm not a good speaker, Lord. What if they don't believe me, Lord? And God responds with each one and says, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. I'll be with you. You can even throw your staff on the ground and it will become a snake as a sign that I am with you. When we're trying to make a decision, it is so easy to get tangled up in the lie of our doubt and questioning and our endless what ifs, and doubt and fear push in, and it's very easy to believe that God does not see us. It is easy to believe in the crux of a decision that we are all alone. All of a sudden, what was overwhelming is now hopeless. Before we know it, we have no kickstand and our faith has toppled over. So some of the best preparation we can do to make good decisions is to put some really solid kickstands in place for our faith. Some really clear truths that will hold us upright when we're sorting through the complicated dynamics of particular decisions in front of us. Do not let your feelings tell you who God is. Let the Bible tell you who God is. Your feelings will likely change on the daily and sometimes on the hour. So your feelings are not great at reminding yourself of who God is. We've got to let the Bible do that. So think about it. Consider it. For your brain and for your heart and for your story, what are important kickstands for you to have in place for decision-making process? For my brain, knowing that God is with me is really critical. That connects to my story, that connects to my heartbeat. That's just a really important thing for me to remember. So what is it for your brain and your heart and your story? Do you need to remember that God is with you? Do you need to remember that God is generous with wisdom when we ask for it? Do you need to remember that God hears you? Do you need to remember that God responds to us? Do you need to remember that God loves you? Put those kickstands in place. Because once we find our faith on steady-ish, if you will, ground, because not all decision moments have steady ground, once those kickstands are in place, we're able to do some good preparation and care of our internal selves. We get to ask some questions about where our heart and our mind and our soul stands. And the first question that I think is very valuable to ask is, what am I attached to and what is attached to me? Now, God has told us in all sorts of ways, in all corners of the Bible, that the most important thing we are supposed to do as followers of Jesus is to love the Lord your God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. It's the greatest commandment, and it's followed by, and love your neighbor as yourself. And typically, when people kind of sign up to Jesus or come to faith or begin to walk with Jesus, that's like one of the first things you hear. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And because we repeat this regularly, it sometimes loses the power of it. Right? So let's just name it in this space. That's a really big ask. Love me with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. It's a really big deal what God is asking of us. And what God is saying to us is he wants us to love him with all of our being so that we then become attached to him. We are made to know God and to be known by God. And when we become attached to God, we then become like God. That's how this whole thing is designed to work. So when God says, love me with all your heart and your soul and your mind, that means be attached to me. So when we are attached to something other than God or in addition to God, it gets in the way of our good decision making. Our attachments, even good ones, pull us away from God. So think about it. What am I attached to and what's attached to me? We can be attached to all sorts of things. Here's a not so comprehensive list of things I thought of this morning. You can be attached to work, money, stuff, education, politics, career, health, family, future plans, your friends, your reputation. You can even be attached to the church. Now, none of these things are inherently bad or destructive. In fact, many of these things are very good gifts from God. Many of these things are things that you are naturally attracted to because of the way that God has created you. Many of these things bring Jesus and tell the gospel to people that don't know him. Many of these things are responsibilities that God has given us. But when we are attached to these things, it competes for our attention and our loyalty in a decision. So here's an example. If you are attached to another person and you're standing in front of a decision to make, you may ask God his opinion and that other person their opinion. You compare the two answers and you pick your favorite. If you are attached to success, then every decision you make is tied to what makes you more successful. And instead of asking God which one you should choose or which of the many ways you should go, you just go towards what makes you most successful, and then you loop God in afterwards, like leaving God a voicemail. Like, okay, Lord, thanks so much. It all worked out great. I'm loving my new job. So let me know if anything, you need anything to change, but all is well. Call you back. Bye. We do these last minute check-ins with God. Like, Lord, if you don't like it, well, then blow it up. And then God didn't blow it up, so he must like it. All is well, right? If we are attached, we can even be attached to the work of God. The pursuit of justice and mercy, we can become so attached to that work that we are unable to hear God when he says, it's time to stop, it's time for something new, we haven't talked in a while. Even attachment to good things can distract or pull us away from God. And when we are attached to something, we carry it in to every interaction with God, and it makes decision-making very, very clumsy. So I have a toddler who is currently very attached to this little wagon. It's a very cute little wagon. It's age-appropriate. He loves it. It's like this mini wagon. And I bought him this wagon as a gift. Now, it's a great toy for when we're outside or when he's like messing around in the backyard or if his sisters invent the game grocery store. The wagon is a great addition. But have you ever tried to give someone a bath when they don't want to let go of their wagon? Have you ever tried to feed someone breakfast when they are insistent on holding on to their wagon? Or try to put someone in a car seat when they are just convinced that the wagon is the only thing that is going to bring them happiness? It is really, really complicated, nearly impossible. I have gotten whacked by that wagon so many times in the process. But that's what it's like to follow Jesus when we are attached to something. It doesn't matter if God has shown up to bring us rest, to bring us provision, to bring us nourishment, to bring us protection. We bring our wagons into the moment and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've provided, but I am not going to let go of this thing. It doesn't matter what you ask me to do, where you call me. I am sure that I'm sure that I'm sure that this wagon or this thing belongs to me. So if it's me, it's me in the wagon. You are meant to freely follow Jesus. No wagons attached. So what are you attached to, and what is attached? So we need to ask ourselves, what am I attached to, and what is attached to me? When we start to realize these things, we're able to invite God into that place and say, Lord, help me with this attachment. Help me in this place where my work or my family or the needs of my community or success or my future plans are getting in the way of me freely following you. When we know what we're attached to, we're able to invite God into that place and help us through that. And the second question that I think is really important is to ask ourselves, what am I feeling and where is it leading me? So decisions bring all sorts of feelings, okay? Good decisions, hard decisions, easy decisions, they bring feelings. We can be excited about new opportunities. We can be afraid if there's an element of risk. We can be uncertain when there are too many options or not enough options. And the thing about our feelings that we have to remember is that our feelings either pull us towards Jesus or they pull us away from Jesus. Your feelings, while they feel very, very real and very, very true, your feelings can pull you away towards Jesus or away from Jesus. Let's take anxiety for an example. Maybe you feel anxious about something. We can feel anxious about something, and that can lead us towards Jesus. We can start to reach for Jesus from our place of all of those anxious feelings, right? We can begin to search for and experience the refuge, the fortress, the shelter of the wings of the Almighty that David describes in the Psalms. That would be our feelings bringing us towards Jesus. Or we can feel our feelings and it can bring us away from Jesus. That same anxious place, we can decide that instead of moving towards Jesus, we're just going to figure this out on our own. God is moving too fast, he's too far away, and so we find other things to bring us peace and calm our feelings of nerves and anxiety. And so when we're tangled up in the decision-making process, or when we are anticipating having to make a decision, we have to ask ourselves, what am I feeling and where is it leading me? I recently had to do this exercise, and here's what happened. I got invited to preach at another local Vineyard church on a Sunday morning. I was really excited. It was an honor to be invited. And what's true is that over the last 3 years, our church here has provided space for me to, kind of like an incubator, for me to grow and develop. And I have found that I love to write, and I love to preach, and I love to have this conversation with you on a Sunday morning. This is a part of how God has designed me. I'm so sure of it. And so I got this invitation, and while I was incredibly honored, I was absolutely overwhelmed with feeling nervous. Now, true story, I'm very nervous on a Sunday morning, okay? I mask it well, I'd like to believe. But I'm very nervous on a Sunday morning, but this was different kind of nervous, okay? I was overwhelmed by anxiety, fear, concern. And the invitation, while it was an honor, left me all tangled up. And I kept saying to my people and to Jesus, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. And I began to say that so often that I was truly kind of annoyed with myself. Like, what do I mean by that? So I decided to do the thing that you know I do when I'm tangled up. I made a list. Okay? The title of my list was, Why Am I So Nervous? Okay? And I started to write down, why am I nervous? Here were the first three things on my list. I'm nervous about the logistics, getting there on time, preparation. I'm nervous about preaching at a new church where I only know a few people. I'm nervous about their service being in a different order than our service. Excuse me. And so I looked at that list and I thought, okay, That's all like beginning new things, nervous. That makes sense. And so I asked God to come and help me. I literally prayed right there, like, Lord, just help me be confident about things that are unknown. Give me peace, that give me flexibility in my spirit. Would just help me feel steady even though this is new. Got done praying and I realized I'm still nervous. There's still more here. So I was writing down what else I was nervous about, and I wrote this sentence. I wrote two sentences. The first one was, I'm nervous that God won't show up. And my second one was, because I'm not sure I know how to preach. What? I looked at my list and I thought, whoa, that's not true. Every time I come into this space with you, God shows up and does incredible things. I know that I am made to preach and talk about Jesus. The first half of my list pushed me to find comfort and peace in Jesus, and the second half of my list caused me to question the very essence of what I was created to do and where God was in the moment. Your feelings will lead you either towards God or away from God. So we have to pay attention to where they are leading us. It's not enough to just say we're nervous. Figure out where nervous is leading you. Because what's true is often our feelings take us in a direction where it's very hard to see Jesus. It's very hard to stay connected to the truth. I was just kind of allowing myself to like float around in my feelings and be pushed and pulled wherever they may lead. But that is not good care of my soul. That is not good care of my relationship with Jesus. When we do this exercise, we have a better idea of what's going on around in us, what's going on in us or around us. So maybe you look at where your feelings are leading and all of a sudden you realize, like I realized, that some lies were creeping in. You might realize that you're under spiritual attack. Evil is real. And it tries to distract from the work of God all the time. You might realize that you're afraid of losing something. You might realize that you aren't really sure that God wants good things for you. You might realize that you are experiencing a time of real spiritual fatigue and doubt. When we know where our feelings are leading us, we are better able to ask for help and reach for others. We are better together in front of our feelings. We need each other. God has given us each other. He's created us as the body of Christ, not the individual collection of Christ followers. We have been knit together as a body so that we might be used together as a body to support and to encourage, to correct, to lead, to love, to pray for. And so we need each other in that place. When we are tangled up in the decision-making process, when we're anticipating a decision, we need each other. This is that moment where you get to call your people and say, help me out. I'm drowning in my feelings. And so usually what it sounds like for me and my people is that I call someone and say, can I talk out loud for 5 minutes? And then can you tell me what you hear? And I talk and 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 talk. And I feel and feel and feel and feel and feel. And then I say, okay, I'm done. What do you hear? And here are some of the things that they say to me. Sounds like you need a nap. Sounds like you need to take a break. Sounds like you have forgotten that God is in it with you. It sounds like you have forgotten what he did for you 6 months ago. It sounds like you have lost sight of where he's leading you. You need your people. And so this brings us to the question of, do you got any? Do you have good people? Do you have people that are walking towards Jesus for themselves? Do you have people that are anchored in truth that can say to you in moments where you're kind of unraveling, hey, I think you're losing sight of a kickstand of truth? If you don't have people, you can get them. Join a small group, join a team, join a ministry. Get to know the person around you. These are very good candidates for your people. And when you have people, tell them they're your people. You can say, you're my person. So if I call you and I say something ridiculous, tell me it's ridiculous. I'm inviting you to hold steady to Jesus when I'm floundering around. What are you feeling and where is it leading you? Church, you are made to make decisions with Jesus. You are made to walk in step with Jesus. And all sorts of funky things can get in the way of that. All sorts of crazy stuff gets mixed up in our decision making, and it threatens how we see God and how we hear him. All sorts of things get tangled up that competes for our attention and distorts our perspective of what's happening. And so we have to take good care of our relationship with Jesus. We have to work those decision-making muscles so that we are ready for the moment of decision-making. This summer, I had a question for God. It was like a what do I do sort of question. And everywhere I went with God, and every time I was awake with God, I would ask him this question. Lord, what should I do in this situation? And I would ask and ask and ask, and I read all the verses about how God gives us answers, and I read all the verses about how God hears us, and still I had no answer, and I didn't feel like he was listening to me. And so I became desperate, kind of frantic. Okay, every opportunity I had to talk to God about this, I would do it. Okay, and I became kind of annoyed with my own self, but I was so frustrated that God was not answering this question, so I just kept asking it. And one day, I was so desperate that I decided to go for a walk in the woods, which if you know me, you know is a sign of true desperation because I don't like the woods, okay? I'm made for cement. I know many people like crave nature. Please don't send me an email about it. I trust that. But I am not that person, okay? I don't need trees. I love cement. I see God in an alley. Like, I just am made for the city, okay? I know. There's all those posters that say you're supposed to go to the mountains. But I don't want to. It's not fun for me, okay? But I was so desperate for an answer. And I know so many people that find God in the woods. So I thought, well, worth a try. So I went into the woods. This is a true story. I went into the woods, and I just started to analyze everything I saw because it's all new to me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, okay, so that branch is, like, turned down that way. Lord, is it you? Like, oh, that leaf is orange. What does orange mean, you know? God, we're going, the path is going to the right. What are all the verses about going to the right? I mean, I was just all tangled up. I didn't enjoy one minute of it. I don't know what happens in the woods for other people, but it didn't happen for me. And I got to the end of the path, and I was so frustrated because I had even tried the woods that I sat down and said to God, come on, don't you see me? I'm trying so hard here. Come on, just give me the answer. And I heard God so clearly say, you are so fixated on the answer that you are forgotten the one who gives it. You're so fixated on the answer that you've forgotten to give me eye contact. Church, sometimes in the decision-making process, we become so fixated on getting our answer that we neglect caring for the relationship with the one who gives it. We treat God like an ATM. We get the answer we want and we go off on our way. He is not an ATM. Do not treat him that way. What's true is you are meant to live and walk in step with Jesus. You're meant to arrive to each decision with Jesus, not call him when you get there. You're meant to arrive with him there. And so we must take good care of our relationship with Jesus. I'm sorry, the band can start making their way back up. We have to take good care of our relationship with Jesus so that we are ready for the moment of decision making. Church, you are meant to be like a tree that is planted by the water, a tree that is connected to Jesus, a tree that does not fear when the pressure is up and it's time to make a decision, a tree whose leaves are always green, who does not worry in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. That's who you're made to be. So take good care of your relationship with Jesus. Last-minute frantic check-ins will never replace the deep, steady, foundational work of living life with Jesus. So will you stand with us as we sing one last final song?